Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Welcome to the Lighthouse Bible Enrichment Hour. We want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Miss Beverly Beasley of Granny's Place, and her pastor, Elder Michael. Richard Terry, and we also are going to give a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Michael Morgan of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church. And we just thank you tonight for joining us for this Bible Enrichment Hour. We're going to turn it over to Sister Amber, and that will be the next voice that you hear.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to Bible Enrichment Hour. Of course, this is the Lighthouse. We are a ministry that is predestined to restore virtue in a society that's barren of moral and spiritual excellence. Geared for restoration, the Lighthouse, which is led by Dr. Shelton D. Carter, provides a creative platform for the unusually gifted. It's a training ground where champions are developed. You can catch us here every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time for all you people in the central area, in the central time zone. You can join us Monday through Friday on the New Day call. It's at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. So this is not your ordinary morning call. You have to be on the line to experience it for yourself. But the telephone number, get your pens and pencils ready. You can reach us every morning and have prayer requests, live testimony, inspiration. There every morning, 605-475-4001. Again, that's 605-475-4001. And the PIN number is 286-890. Again, that's 286-890. There will be a change in the telephone number starting April the 10th of this year. We're doing a lot of upgrades here, so we're upgrading the teleconference system to provide the number of people who call in, so I'll provide that number later on during the call. But remember, for the rest of this week, we'll still be on that line of the number that I just gave. And also, come join us on Sunday mornings at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time at our Los Angeles location, 1745 West Vernon Avenue in Los Angeles, California. I like to say that you can expect to receive a little southern hospitality on the West Coast when you come in and join us. You are never a stranger. That's my testimony from my experience and other people. We are known that the Lighthouse Los Angeles, we're family, even the first time visitors. If we have Sister Chanel on the line, she has something that she would like to share with us. Sister Chanel?
Good evening. Good evening, Amber. How are you? And the Lighthouse family and everyone on the call. Good evening. Just very quickly, I just wanted to say hi and just give a quick testimony of how good God is. You know, I'm just so grateful to be a part of the Lighthouse family because one thing that they teach us is how to be a champion, how to walk in victory. And, you know, coming from, I guess, my background, or I'm used to just worrying about things and being consumed with everything that is going on. But in this last season, I'm really taking hold of what it means to be a champion, and that is walking in the victory and being thankful all the time. And I'm seeing how my life is changing because I'm walking in gratefulness, and I'm being so thankful, and I'm just standing in expectation of God and his blessings and what he is doing in my life. And I'm so grateful for Dr. Carter and the Lighthouse and the teaching that we receive. But God is steadfast. God is steadfast, and he's sustainable. And I was reading some scripture today about, I can't remember the exact scripture, but paraphrasing, if I take care of the birds, and why do you worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what clothes you're going to put on? Are you not more valuable than the birds and the flowers? And I'm paraphrasing, and that's not the correct scripture. But as I was reading that, It just reminded me, you know, God has promised to stay with us, to never leave us, right? And so, you know, you have to stand on those promises. And so lately I've just been standing on the promises of God, saying, Daddy, you promised me, Daddy, you promised me, like I would do my earthly father if he promised me anything. And I'm just watching God just do amazing things, you know, standing still and watching the salvation of God and just watching him work in a miraculous way and just watching him make a way out of no way and just blessing me and just overflow and these people and that people and the different people that he's putting in my life. But not only that, as I'm getting closer to him and reading my word and really getting into my word, he's really leading me, and I'm walking in this obedience of, you know, he'll lead me somewhere and say, call this person or send this scripture to that person or go by this, you know, person's house and help them with this situation. And I don't really know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit is illuminating my mind and just situations of people that are connected to my destiny and just how to operate and flow in that in the Holy Ghost. So I'm just so grateful today. I'm so thankful today. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm just overflowing. And I can feel the love of God, and I'm just so happy to be on this call today. And just happy to share, you know, happy to share my testimony. You know, a couple months ago, I was just, you know, feeling down, feeling depressed, feeling frustrated about my situation because I just thought that God had to do it a certain way. He had to do it at a certain time. And once I released that, once I released God just to be God, God just to do what he's going to do and allow him to do what he's going to do in my life and get me to where I need to go, he's just really just showing out. And so I'm just so thankful today. I'm thankful for you, Amber, as moderator today. You know I love hearing your voice. So thanks for letting me share. And, yes, amen. God bless.
Thank you very much, Sister Chanel. That is one awesome thing about the family that we have here at the Ladder House. You know, there are people in across different time zones, and honestly, no matter what time zone that I'm in, I know that I can reach out to one of my sisters or brothers there at the Ladder House, and even Dr. Carter, who always have a word for me. And Sister Shanine and Sister Chanel were very helpful to me. So to be honest with you, I had a moment today myself, and it's just amazing how God works. And I was reminded of a scripture. You know, I just started on this complaining rant. And I was led to Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. Man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God required that which is past. And so as I said, I started to be thankful for even the things. You know, sometimes we can get caught up into, well, this happened to me before, and that's why I'm in this situation. I need to get over this and that. But I'm learning as I'm going through this process, this restoration, this transformation period. I'm thankful for all that has passed, and I'm even more grateful for what yet is to come. If anyone is out there and you're active in the social media sphere, the Ladder House, we are active on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Our Ladder House. That's Our Ladder House. And feel free to send your prayer request or any email to dlhwork@gmail.com. That is dlhwork@gmail.com. And I announced earlier in the call that we are upgrading the teleconference system as of April the 10th. And that telephone number, if you're prepared, we'll be announcing this on the prayer call in the mornings, but just to give you a heads up, that telephone number is 605-475-4730. Again, that's 605-475-4730. And the PIN number is 937-429. Again, that's 937-429. And that won't be active until next week on the 10th of April. If you joined us last week, Pastor came from Ephesians 4:1, where he discussed the power and purpose and the potential of the church, you know, written by Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. He discussed topics about recognizing the grace that's over your covering in your man of God or woman of God, and also measuring to the weight of one's calling. Is there anyone on the line who was present last Tuesday who would like to talk about, you know, what they took away from last week's message? As a matter of fact, who do we have on the line? Can we do a quick roll call?
Hey,
hello, Sister Lacey. Who else is on the call?
Sister Antoinette.
Hello, Sister Antoinette.
Hello.
Hey, Amber, Samantha, in transition, so I'm muted out.
Hello, Sister Samantha.
And Tamika.
Hello, Tamika.
Hi.
I get all excited hearing these voices. Sister Lacey, would you like to share? Are you in a place where you can share about what your takeaways from last week?
Sure. Pastor's been in lately talking about the transfiguration and just going through the necessary changes. And for me, I've been in a transformation for 2 years now, but I've been in this transfiguration for a few months now, and it was probably the hardest thing I have gone through, but it was necessary. And so I just want to say to, because I know we are going through our own transfigurations on our own levels for what God is calling us to do separately, but I want to encourage you to stick to the process and to trust the process, no matter how hard it gets, how much it hurts, because in that process, you have to see you, the real you. And none of us wants to see the real us, because the real us is ugly. And half the time, we don't like who we really are. And so in seeing you, trust what you're seeing, that he's showing you for a reason. There's a purpose to why he's showing you. And don't even focus on what the purpose is, because that'll drive you crazy. But the goal is to just, the goal really is just to live the life that God originally planned for us to live. And getting there is going through the transfiguration, going through the hurt, going through the pain, going through the confronting of yourself. It's needed. It's necessary. It's intentional. And so listen to everything Pastor is saying. And even when you don't understand what he's saying, call somebody, anybody, or just go to God. Honestly, go to God. You ask him, he will give it to you, he will show it to you, and you have to be ready. When you do go to God, you need to be ready and make sure that you are in a position to hear. Because when he tells you, you might not like it, but it's going to work out for your good. And so that's just me. I just want to encourage you to just trust the process, trust the progress, and get in a position to hear God.
Well, God bless you, Sister Lacey. Thank you. That's very encouraging, and thank you for your transparency. You have no idea how much you just helped me. I'm sure you helped others out there and encouraged others and gave them, you know, some words of wisdom. Is there anyone out there who would like to share or piggyback off of what Sister Lacey had to share?
Amen. This Sister Antoinette. It just, I thank God for the latter house, for just the unity in the body collectively. You know, so much religion is a difference than a relationship. And when you're seeking a relationship with him, God will, like she said, reveal yourself to you. And sometimes we can get caught up in doing good that we lose the concept. The word is a living organism, meaning that it brings life. And the word comes alive when you're honest with yourself. And I thank God for that, because in my, on my journey, seeking after him and his righteousness, he showed me a lot of things, and he opened my eyes to a lot of things. It's not what we do, but it's what we believe. We come to the line for encouragement, and so many times we don't know how to encourage one another. But I just thank and praise God for the realness, the walking in the spirit, not just trying to read the word and convict somebody else without taking a look at yourself. And that's what the word of God will do. That's why people get scared. They don't want to grow in the word, because the word will start showing you. And that's part of the healing process, is that when you allow God to show you, and then it gives you a different mindset on how we view other people. So I thank God that I just read this little insert right here. It says, "The God who has revealed himself to us is our source of strength, wisdom, joy, understanding, and peace. As we steep our souls in the word that points us to him, the work of God's Spirit will be evident in our lives." So that's what chapter 4 is talking about. Us coming together with all our different things that we go in life. There's not a separation. Mm-hmm. We can't separate ourselves because of, if you don't think like I think, then I think you're wrong. No, It says that we come together in the spirit, in the bond of peace. That we're coming together, and I can hear strength, I hear encouragement, and it gives me. Sometimes you just need that, and so many times we fail to encourage one another. So in Ephesians, that's what Paul is telling us, that with all our differences, that we still can come together. Because why? Because we got one common goal, the Savior.
Amen.
One common goal, the Savior, and he brings us together according to his will. If we be willing, I heard someone say, just be willing to allow him to show yourself to you. And when we do that, we can view others differently because of how God, the love that God has for us and our mess. You know, everybody is on a level, and no two people is going to be on at the same level at the same time all the time. But when we put Christ first, we all on the same level. So just keep him, just keep our eyes on him. And he'll bring it together. And I just thank God for that, the unity of the faith. Amen.
I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Antoinette.
Thank you.
Sister Shanine, do I hear you on the line?
Hey, new family.
Hello, how are you?
I'm excited, blessed, and highly favored. I thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing here and just for moderating the mind this evening. I believe the question was posed that had to do with what was gathered from the teaching from last week, and I'm looking, going with some things, because people that know me know I like to write down stuff. I have stuff to go back to. And, you know, when I'm referencing things, I like to go back and read over some things. And one thing that stood out to me this evening was one of the things that Dr. Carter brought up was understanding the gift that God has placed in our midst and our leader, and understanding and the importance of our connection. And if you know the gift that you have in your leader and that grace gift that is upon your leader, you know what you can draw from or what you can pull out and what you can expect. And I've learned in understanding that and seeing the various of things that Dr. Carter has gone through and has taught us in, and the way he finesses and the way he speaks and continues to speak life, and learning that part of him and understanding that when I'm going through particular things, I take down notes of things that he's studied and he's taught, and I've watched him show love in every situation. And I do mean every situation, situations that a lot of us would not be able to show love, but the grace of God. I've noticed him pray earnestly for people that if had the opportunity, they would have already killed him. But he will lovingly and kindly intercede on behalf of others, knowing that they meant him no good. He will lovingly and kindly lift people up, go out and help people. He shows love and compassion in everything that he does. Even when he wars on a such a different level that I'm learning that because of that grace gift that is within him, then I can do those same things. I can pull from that and learn from that in the areas where I'm weak and I need to develop and grow in and learn how to be kind in every situation, to show the love of God, to let the Holy Spirit lead me outside of my flesh, outside of that thing that would try to rear itself up. I learned that and he reminded us of that last week, just understanding our gift, understanding the anointing that we have before us, understanding there's an anointing for an assignment, and then there's an anointing that's on you, and then understanding the diversities in this. Some of them have both. Some of them have one or the other. And those are the few things that stood out with his teachings from last week to me.
Lot about unity, and that reminds me that that's actually one of the tenets of Ladder House. Unity, victory, love, and faith, if I recall correctly. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about unity, the unity aspect of the Ladder House, and how important unity is? Because I'm sensing that right now on the call, the importance of unity.
But once again, this is Shanine, and since we're on the subject of unity, I did bring up some of the things that I learned in our lesson from last week. In learning the diversities and gifts that are in our house, and learning that we all work and fit together like a body, I started learning and listening to the body and looking at the body and looking at the various different organisms. I was blessed to be able to mention even on Sunday. And when you look at the intricacies of the body, the things that our flesh might see as unimportant, the hairs on the back of your arm, you know, the nails on your finger, these various different things that people can take for granted, I myself included. But when you don't have them, or when you don't have the workings of them, you see the importance and that the necessity of every little thing. They all have an assignment. They may seem minute, but put together, it makes a complete, healthy, working, thriving body. It's a viable organism. When it's healthy, it will reproduce health. It will reproduce love. It will reproduce in excellence. And when it's not healthy, it produces the opposite, which would be hate, which would be bitterness and things of that nature. And at the Ladder House, we're learning how to be not judgmental about, because various different ones of us go through various different things and a lot of different times, but what we're coming into is anybody that can come into the Ladder House can find something that they've experienced, some love in some area that they've experienced, be that going through the judicial system, be that in going through in parenting issues, be that in drug-related issues, be that in gender-related issues, be that in health-related issues, mental issues. There's not a thing that you can't come into the Ladder House and run into the grace for and the love for and someone to just hold you and comfort you and let you know it's going to be okay. Let me tell you how I know it's going to be okay, because I've been through A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and this is what happened to me. I didn't lose my mind here, and yet the Lord brought me through, and not just brought me through with a little something, but brought me through victoriously. That's another gift that you run into at the Ladder House. Not judgment, not protocol, not titles, but love. Love in its
sincerity, unity, understanding that, hey, you might be going through something right now, but we got you. We got you. We're going to lift you up. We're going to pray for you. We're going to cover you. We're going to do what it needs, what you need to have done so that when you are restored and as you are restored in this transfigurating period, that you will reach down and do somebody else and help somebody else in your workforce, at your home, in your business, wherever you are, you'll have that love. And we learned as you give it, as you get it, you're able to pour it out healthily.
Amen, amen, definitely. That reminds me of my experience, my first encounter with the Ladder House. Actually, what I found amazing about it is that I met someone outside the walls of the church who was a member of the Ladder House, and she knew my situation. Actually, I was homeless with a child. She knew my situation, and there was no judgment at all. She was so welcoming and so nice and non-discriminating, and she shared her story with me. And to be quite honest with you, I don't want to go to anybody. I was cool with streaming and podcasts from church, but it was just the love that she showed me. And when she invited me, I just felt compelled to go. And when I got there,
hello, can you hear us?
No, I think she.
She dropped.
She's dropped. Yeah, I think she's
okay,
dropped.
Okay, well, I'd like to take the moment and take the opportunity to, again, welcome the family here to the call, the Bible Enrichment Hour. We thank each and every person for taking the time to join in. Please take a minute, get your Bibles and your pens ready to get the Word of God from none other than our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter. So the floor is yours.
God bless you. Can you hear me?
You need to speak up a little bit.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Better.
That's better?
Yeah, that's good,
okay,
right there.
Right there?
Yeah.
What
right
about
there.
Now? What about now? What about
that's
now?
That's good right there. That's good right there.
How about? Amen. I'm moving around. I'm just got in off a flight, and so I had to pull into a hotel lobby and take this call, but it is definitely my pleasure to be on this call. And I was being encouraged and inspired by what the people of God were saying, and just knowing that you all had been attentively listening to the lessons that are being shared. And I want you to understand that that's how we grow, and that's how we grow in walking in the Spirit. The Bible says that as many that are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God, meaning those that walk in the nature and character of God. And so you allow yourself to be led is awesome. I think it's a great thing, and I'm sure it's a beneficial thing for most of you all that you pay attention to, that in life there's nothing worse than walking through it by yourself. And knowing that God is with you is so inspiring and so encouraging and keeping. I'm really grateful for you all tonight. It means my heart all it does my heart so good to hear this level of interaction. So God bless you. Amen. I want to assign someone who is unmuted at all times, because it's very distant, and it affects ministry often when there's a separation. Two is, but also permits people to not engage or involve themselves and take advantage of this time. And it's actually insulting to the Spirit, and it's a grieving to the Spirit for you to be in his company and not give him your undivided attention. And so whenever you come before the Holy Spirit, don't treat him like talk show radio, as if you can wash dishes and do everything and all that stuff, because he's speaking life to you. He's speaking encouragement to you. He's trying to bring power into your life, and you're resisting him when you perform as such, as if there's nothing going on. And so I want to keep us from hurt, harm, and danger in the Spirit. And so I am admonishing you to give him your undivided attention. Pay attention, like the Bible says, to give heed to him. So give heed to him, which is to pay attention, so that he can give you what you need so you can go a little further. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But now, because of the sake of time, I had been on it again. Like I said, I was listening and enjoying, and I didn't want to interrupt. But I wanted to just chime in on some of the things that were being said concerning our lesson last week out of Ephesians and where Paul addressed us. And he charged us to keep the unity. And unity is so important. Unity is extremely important. The Bible says this. He says he sets. Now hear me when he says it. In Psalm 68, he says he sets. And when he sets, he's setting in the term of like he's setting like a jeweler sets a precious stone into a piece of jewelry. He carefully sets that diamond. He carefully does it with precision. He doesn't just throw it in there. He makes sure that it is perfectly fit for that place or that spot. Perfectly fit. And I want to tell you today, tonight, that God is preparing you all for perfection. Now, I'm not saying flawlessness, because none of us are flawless, but he is preparing us for perfection. He's preparing us to be perfectly set where we belong. This is why you're transfiguring. We're transfiguring before God. He's changing us so we can fit. And these fits that he's changing us for, he has been doing it over some time now. If you look back over your spiritual material and study material and your journals and things like that, you'll see how God has been preparing you for the last 6-9 months or something. And so now you're at this place, and there's a way that you must perform in this place as if you have been set. Because if you have been set, you have been prepared. And if you have been prepared, you have been prepared with adequate, proper, and excellent preparation. God was excellently getting you ready for where you belong. And so when he puts you there, he puts you in a place where you are to shine, where you are to perform, where you are to grow, where you are to encourage others, and you are supposed to never look back again.
Okay.
Never look back again. And we're constantly looking back. My heart went out. My heart is going out. And again, I don't know. It just, you know, I was thinking of the passage of Scripture, and it's all in the same chapter in the Gospels where Jesus was on his way to Jairus, who was a ruler. He was a ruler. He had prestige. He had a lot of honor. He had a lot of influence. He was a powerful man in his own right. And his child was sickened, and the child was dying. And the Bible says that they came and asked Jesus to come and heal him. And so Jesus committed to do so and was en route to go do so. But while en route, there's this woman that had an issue with blood. And the Bible says she had this issue of blood for 12 long years.
Uh-huh.
12 long years. And she had suffered many things. Number one, is there any woman on here that has suffered many things?
Amen.
Is there any woman on the line that has not only suffered many things, is there any woman on the line that have been through some unusual things, some strange things, things that some people just don't make it out of? And if they do make it out, they don't make it out with their right mind.
Right.
But yet you came out and you came out with your right mind, and some of you are going through the process and keeping your mind. Okay? And so with that being said, he's preparing you for a great work. But one of the things that you've always heard me, and I don't know if you've heard me say before, that God is raising up people to do excellent work, but it's very difficult to do excellent work or to do an effective job when you are infected. Okay? And when you're infected, it is very difficult to do a good job because, again, your infections will come out. And notice what I said. They are infections. They are not outer affections. They are inward affections. Because what's happening is the image, it's like the word went to work like an antibiotic. Amen. And I don't know who that is, but I'm asking you all, whoever that is, I hear like TVs and dogs, and that's a lot right there. And it's louder in my ear. It's very hard to concentrate. But listen, when I say infect, notice I say infection. Infection. Inward infection. If it's an infection, it is an infection because something got in that was not supposed to be in there. It's an infection also because the word of God had started to go to work in you. And it was like a form of an antibiotic. And an antibiotic, yes, they begin to work on you and they cover up the wound on the outside. But you have to continue to take that antibiotic for several days so that you could be completely healed inside and out. And so that you started getting the word and coming into experiences with God that experienced you so much that you had this outward presentation that was literally the ambition from your inward person, but yet the soul of the inward man was still being healed. But because some people sometimes can come to you and begin to acknowledge your process of changing, you have not yet got completely changed, so you prematurely, and I'm talking to women tonight, you prematurely ran out and felt like this was the time to start blessing or being or esteeming yourself as something, not realizing that God still had more work to do. He's still doing more work. And the only way you can have an infection is if something is in there that you can easily cover, never have to acknowledge, never have to bring it forth. But I want you to know it will pop out and it will show up. And when God is getting ready to move in your life, remember, everyone will be seasoned with fire. The fire will come to prove literally who and what you are. Everyone will be seasoned with fire to see what kind you are, to see what sort you are, see what type you are. Why is it to such measure? So he can know how and where to place you, where to set you. You don't set a hay vessel in a gold parameter. You don't put straw in the responsibility of wheat. We got to make sure, baby, if we're going to put you in that type of pressure situation, that you're solid. And you're so solid that you may bend, but you can't break because you're solid. And the only way you get solid is if your hot gold gets cooled off, which means that if you're cooled off, that means you have taken form already. And if you have taken form, that means that you wasn't always cold, but you once went through fire. And if you went through fire, that means that your stuff have already come up. And it's not that your stuff don't keep coming up. How does it come up? Because it's in there. And going to church is not going to make it go away.
Right.
It's a process.
Amen.
I hear you just saying, mean, God bless you. You don't have to keep chiming in. You're kind of extremely loud. And so, however, it's a process. Your process is showing up. And it's one thing we can talk about and talk big, and we can talk holy, and we can talk saved, and we can talk done, we can talk finished, we can talk proud. But when the tempter comes, are we acknowledging and giving credence to, hey, wait a minute, this ain't the first time that this kind of thing here happened to me? Matter of fact, the 17th time prior to this, it came like this, that, and the other. And then the time after that, it came like that, and the other. And then it came like that. And every time it was like that, it was something similar to how it was before, which meant that by now we should be identifying that there's something in me that is unresolved. And I got to get that thing off of me. I got to get it out of me. Out of me. Jairus had a daughter who needed to be healed. Came to Jesus and asked Jesus to come. Jairus was a ruler. He was a wealthy, astute, esteemed man, which should have granted the coming of Jesus based upon his astuteness, if you would. However, while en route, the woman had had an issue of blood. She had suffered many things for 12 long years. It was a long process. Not only did she suffer many things, the Bible says that she had spent all she had on all kinds of physicians. She went to everybody, and she did everything she could. Now, mind you, if she went 12 years spending and giving in hopes that she was going to receive something that was actually going to bring her some level of resolve with herself, she did everything. She did everything, and she did everything for everybody. She did stuff that people normally wouldn't do for people. But the reality is she was looking for something for herself more than what she was giving. She was giving, but she was still needy. I have been, it was a very difficult subject for me, but it is a very pleasurable subject for me because I hate the devil in this area and what he has done with women. What he's doing with our women, how he used us, when I say us, men, to affect our women, to hurt our women, to bind our women, to abuse our women, to rape our women. He did that to them. We did that because we were infected as men. We didn't know. We were infested through the community we were raised in. And we left these women damaged and broken. And utterly just what the Bible calls dipsuke, to the point they try to keep their mind stayed on one thing, but they can't keep their mind stayed and focused because they are dealing with the aspect of abandonment and rejection, the things that they have suffered from many. The Bible says this woman suffered many, many things. Many things. And I'm talking to women tonight that have suffered many things. And now you're coming in relationship and fellowship with that ladder house thing, that ladder house grace, that ladder house vision. Well, let me tell you about that vision and that grace. That grace comes, the compassion comes, the consideration comes from a man that was broken himself. He is so broken that he was able to relate to the hurts and the pains of women. He was broken like women. He was abandoned like women. He was chastised like women. He was molested like women. He was rejected like women, considered to be nothing like women. He was a single father at the age of 18 like women, all alone by himself, without no help, no one, and trying to figure it out. And I understand that we go through things in life, we say we'll never ever do it, but trust and believe, baby, if you ever get in the right situation, you'd be surprised at things you do that you said you would not do, that you said, oh no, I would never do. And until you get in that type of tight into that type of bind, you can't say what you won't do. And if you didn't do it, you need to thank God for that the grace was there and mercy was there, that you didn't have to do what? Do the things that get off on you, that cause you to suffer one of those things. That became many things. You realize that she suffered many things. You're talking about the grace that operates through your ministry vessel. But he is part of it. You're talking to God abandoned as a child, left on the delivery table by his mother, has been sought out to be destroyed, killed, has tried to by his mother, a woman. His first love, cheated on him with his family member. His second love, cheated on him with one of his relatives. The next one did with his best friend. His first wife cheated on him with his covenant brother. He was taken through the halls of justice, married with all good intentions. 10 days later, shamed, put in jail, annihilated, put to shame, and abandoned by his second wife. I understand, lady. I get it. And a lot of things that, and I didn't always do it right because I got to the place too often get to at times. And that's the place of not caring sometimes. Where you just think that you have the right now not to care. You think you have permission to give up. You act as if you have the right to psychologically fold. And when you're not folding, the only reason you didn't fold is because there was a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself that kept your mind in perfect peace so you wouldn't give in and crash in to the thing that was in you that was affecting you on the inside that was proven that you were infected. So infected that you couldn't be affected. You might have been infected, maybe got 20 years ago, but the results are still here. And it's time to get to the next place. And so what the devil wanted me to do is become angry with women, become heartless and cold towards women. But yet I became more compassionate. How did that happen? It happened because the grace of God hit my life. Paul said, how about I bring out this revelation by grace? I didn't like the process of coming into grace. Again, grace is not mercy. Grace is the divine influence of God upon your heart that gives you the ability to do what you could not do unless he gave you the grace to do that thing. And so I recognize today that God gave me a grace. Gave me a grace for ministry. Two of them. One was ladies first, that God is now telling me to develop and bring into reign. You heard me talking about reign last year, and we were talking about women who win, only to find out that there was another ministry down in Houston, Texas, that refers to themselves as women who win. And so we just left it at reign. And then we got reign out of Romans, where the book of Romans says that how sin ruled us once, he said, now we reign in grace. The righteous reign through grace. The righteous reign through grace. And God gave it to me as it relates to women. That sin or the effects of sin or the things that have happened to you ruled your life at one time. But now since the grace of God has come to your life, now he expects you as his righteousness to rule by grace. And now you have to learn the grace of God that have been given you. There is a grace for you. That I want to see you all moving in it, ministering in it, becoming owners in it, becoming business owners in it, becoming leaders in it, becoming mothers in it, great-grandmothers in it. The grace of God that restores your life, that you display the acts of Christ as his righteousness, that says to the devil, yeah, you did it. You threw all that stuff on me when I was young and in my 20s and acting foolish and doing craziness. Then you covered me when I went to my 30s at being mad at Reggie because he left me. He left me with these little infants and teenagers. Now I'm in my 40s. So I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. God's going to give you the grace to figure it out. He's not going to just give you the grace to figure it out, but he's going to give you the grace to thrive. I share the hurts and the pains and things that have been suffered to me through the hands and the life of a woman. I share that. It's the grace that hit me. I'm not bitter. I don't hate women. I'm not gay. I love women. I appreciate women. Because as they hurt, they've also healed. It was women that was there to kept me when I couldn't be kept. It was women that sowed into my life and blessed me and kept me afloat. It was women that prayed for me when men slept. It was women that put me up for my first sermon. Women. There's a woman that led me to the ministry of doctorate, the doctorate degree in which I carry. Women. And so at one level, they've been very painful. They've also been very much healing. And the enemy would not want me to see how they have healed and helped. I'll become cold and callous and use my charisma, use my wit and my charm. He wanted me to use the hurt and the pain to offer them pain and hurt and grief. And in some cases, I did because I was hurting. I didn't know no better. I was a hurt man. But as I'm going through the process and as God heals, my heart reaches out for women again. And I need y'all to pray for me because God has given me a mission, and it's a moving mission. And I and anyone that knows me, and as I share people, God has not called me to local work, although locally I will work in places. God's called me to move this mission and move it about and abroad and sweep the globe with that ministry for women, and we call them RAIN, not R-A-I-N, but ruling women, reigning women, royal women, powerful women. The stage has been set. The negativity, the positivity. However, it's time. It's time for you ladies to go on forward now. I'm here not to be your lover. I'm here to be your coach. I'm not here to be your friend always. I'm here to coach you to the end, to win. I don't care how hard it is, you can make it. You can overcome it. You can accomplish your dream. You can live a life of excellence, plenty, fruitfulness, serving your Savior, and therefore rallying and putting your arms around the things of life that are really important. Because sometimes we major on minor things that are not really important at all because we're really just looking for something to connect to. Anything to connect to. Anything. This woman suffered many things. And not only did she suffer, she gave up everything. And the hard part about it was she gave up more than she was able to spend. And when I say that, I'm talking about she spent all she had, the Bible says. Oh, but her cost that she spent on stuff was too high. Because even when she didn't have what she spent on, she still has the effects of what she spent on. The effect of the disappointment, the effect of the she had the effects of it, still searching, still giving, still reaching, still trying. To the point that sometimes women end up start hurting others because they're hurting. They end up turning on one another and competing with one another and challenging one another. Your girlfriend is not your enemy. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you wrestle against the spirits, principalities, and high places, wickedness, evil. That was evil that came to you. That was not the likes of God that someone would come and beat you and hit you over the head with bats and sticks, choke you to the point of death. And you just get up and get over it, go make a meal, go crawl up in the bed and make love like you feel like you love him, but you're really in pain. only to have to get up and make breakfast back in the floor and start all over again the same lie because you're trapped in your pain, trapped in your shame. And God gave us a word to deal with that shame. And Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him by despising the shame. He despised the shame because of the joy that was set before him. Shame is something that people put on you. Your shame. The shame. Jesus despised shame, and the way he was able to despise shame was the word despise means to cast down or to think down. He was able to think it down because he had something in his life that he could think up. In other words, he had something to replace his thoughts. Some of you are trapped in your thinking. Your thinking has you trapped. You're in your thoughts all day, and the thoughts that you have are all negative. You need a replacement thought. Jesus was able to endure and despise the shame because of the joy that was set before him, and the joy that was set before him was the cross. The thing is about the cross was that was before him. The cross initiated and suggested a death, which means that you guys, it's time to give a funeral to all that pain. It's time for you to set a funeral for all that pain. It's time out for you to stop chilling at the church, smiling and laughing and acting goofy like silly teenagers, acting like life ain't going on when the power of God is present to heal you of that level of pain. It's time out to stop running in and out of churches and houses just to please flesh and make them feel better about you coming when they're actually giving you nothing. You did that in your first relationship. You gave, you gave, you gave, you gave, you gave, and you got absolutely nothing out of it. And now you go to church where you give and you give and you give, and you get nothing out of it. And it's just the same cycle again. It's just not a man, it's a place, but it's the same experience of rape. You need somebody telling you, say, I understand you got cramps, but you're going to get yourself up today, take you two of these might off, and you got to go to school today because you got to win, child. I can't give you permission to lose. I can't give you permission to quit because it's going to get hard out there, and sometimes Johnny may not come. And if Johnny don't show up, then what you're going to do? You're going to trust some county to be your insurance all your life, or you're going to trust some man to come be your insurance all your life. You're going to have to dust yourself off. I know you went through crack. I know you went through molestation. I know you went through prostitution. I know you went through disease. I know you went through all of that. But, honey, somebody has come today to tell you, you got to get up, and we got to stop the hemorrhaging. This woman had hemorrhaging problem for 12 years. She was losing life. And as she focused on the loss of life and the things she suffered and the things that happened to her, did anybody ever stop to tell you, girl, that if you did that for 12 years, is that you're stronger than what you think? Because no man or woman could go that long in that type of situation, that type of thing, if you didn't have what it took. If you didn't have what it took. If you didn't have what it took, man, you wouldn't have it. The Bible says this woman had suffered many things, spent all she had, and she hemorrhaged for 12 years. The Bible says that that life is in the blood. So she was losing life. Losing life. She was losing life. She was losing life. She was losing in life. Because she was given out of the abundance of her treasures, sowing her pearls amongst swine, all her goodness to anything. Never stopped. Never allowed herself to be disciplined, chastised, corrected, altered by someone that would love her enough to say, hey, look, I don't need your money in my offering more than I need your soul to be safe with God. I don't need you sitting on my pew more than I need you to be in your purpose. God allowed me to feel you. To feel you. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. His son was dying. And this woman who had an issue of blood was losing life for 12 years. She was all out. Anybody on this line today feel that if you wanted to, you don't have nothing left to give? No more blood, no more money, no more physical strength. You just feel out. I'm out. I'm out. Can't do it no more. The Bible says that this woman pressed through the crowd and was proved that she was really ready to change, because for her to press through the crowd was an indication of her conviction, a conviction towards her Savior. Because as a woman, the culture in itself suggests that even when a woman is on her menstrual, 8 days after her menstrual, she must stay outside the camp. Can't come amongst the community of people. She must stay outside. If a woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, she was outside a very long time. You've been on the outside a long time. You've been made to feel like an outsider a long time. But the reality is, the outside that you feel like started with you a long time ago. You feel like an outsider. And even when you get in on the inside, you still feel outside, because you haven't become into who you are yet. You haven't been able to stand your ground and be certain and sure about who you are, your perspective. You haven't been. You don't know that it's okay that you celebrate your own ideas now. You don't know that it's okay that if don't nobody love you, if don't nobody stand with you, it's okay, you got enough in yourself. You haven't come to the realization, hey, man, I've been going through a very long time. And if it ain't affected me, and if it ain't killed me in 12 years, then I must have a little more than I think I have. I must have a little more than I think I have. Maybe I just need someone to come along to say, hey, look, you pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of my garment. You have to understand, we were talking about garments on Sunday. If you understand about the garment, and before, that when you touch the hem of the hem of any garment is literally the finished part of that garment. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that God just wants you to reach your hand out. Why does he want you to reach your hand out? So he can finish it. But until you reach, till you stretch forth your rod, till you stretch forth out of your insecurity, till you stretch past your comfort zone, till you stretch past your stubbornness, blood won't stop leaking. And it won't stop leaking not because you don't have the power to stop it. It won't stop leaking because you ain't fed within yourself yet. Because the only thing that you're saying is in conjunction and relationship to all the pain, all the hurt, all the bitterness, the destruction. That's all you talk about. Let's talk about the victory now. The Bible says she pressed through the crowd. And she touched the finished part of his garment and got the ripest and the purest part of his anointing. She didn't reach. She didn't come to Sunday service to reach because he liked the robe the pastor wore. She didn't come because the choir was slamming and jamming. She didn't do it because the musicians were all right. She did it because she recognized there was something perfect in and upon that anointing. That was in and on Christ. when you identify the grace on your man of God, don't you turn to the left or to the right. You stay put and you reach out with everything you've got, you go get. I don't want him. I want the grace. I want the healing. I want the overcoming power. Pastor, pray for me today. I got to get through this. Don't patty cake me. Don't baby me. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Push me to the next level. Get me where I'm supposed to go. Don't let me fail right through here. If you got to chastise me, chastise. You got to correct me, correct me. But love me enough to let me touch your garment. I'm not trying to stand up and be the head and be all tall and high. I'm willing to humble myself, get down there so I can just be healed. When you get there, he'll turn around and tell you. He'll start asking the disciples. He'll start asking all the other elders. He'll ask the question. He'll say, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out of him. Power flowed out of him. He's in a crowd full of all kind of people. And he has the unmitigated gall to ask the question, who touched me? Yeah, this Sunday is different. Somebody came in here that wasn't playing. Somebody came not looking for who else was going to be here, if anybody was going to be there. Somebody actually came not so that he can just touch them, but if the prerequisite was them touching him first, then let me touch him. They reached, she reached and touched his garment. Pastor, I've been coming to church for 15 years and I'm still carrying this stuff. Yeah, because you've been waiting on him to stretch out his hands towards you, not realizing that before he stretches his hands out towards you, you're going to have to stretch towards him. He says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. But no more free handouts. The woman said within herself that if I only touch the hem of his garment, if I could say within myself, you'll start leaning and moving in the right direction. But it's not until you change what you're saying in yourself. That conversation, that dialogue, you have it in yourself. And within herself, he said, when she touched him, the Bible said he responded and told her, honey, your faith has made you well. So you got well way back there. Way back there. Way back before you even pressed through, your blood had stopped. So because she said within herself that if I could only touch. He said, woman, go your faith, your statement of and your confession of faith is what healed you. So why did that woman show up? If you study it, the Bible says that she pressed his prayer so she can tell him the whole truth. The whole truth was she wasn't no victim. When you're ready to go to the next level, you get real. You get really real. You can't talk about it because you ain't free yet. But when you get free, you can talk about it. See, when you're going through recovery, they tell you things like, especially in drug addiction, like alcohol addiction, you know, don't go to the bar. Please don't go to the bar. Not that the bar ain't a cool place to go to. Not that you're saying you're going to have a drink there. But the temptations that are there are pulling you into places that you are not all the way equipped yet to handle. And I don't know what things tempt you. I don't know what apple you bite out of. I don't know how you spell release. But whatever it is that so easily besets you, that sin and that weight, he said, you got to throw it off. You know you got a drinking issue. Allow yourself to be healed. Don't run to that bar yet. And you got a crack addiction, and you just recently been off it. You can't go around people that smoke marijuana because you ain't ready. You're not even ready to go around people that smoke cigarettes because you're not ready. How can you say that, Pastor? Because the psychological trigger in itself. See, sin has a hold on you in such a way that it has a psychological trigger built within you. That the smallest thing will trigger you into something that is not fruitful for you. May be gainful for somebody else, just not for you. My sisters then may be able to do that. I just can't do that because it's not good for me. It's not good for the direction and where I'm going. Because only way I will say within myself the right stuff is if I see the right stuff in me. And when you see right things in you, then you start speaking from the level that I'm a virtuous woman. I'm a reigning woman. A business woman. Yeah, I'm living out here now, but in me, I'm in Beverly Hills. Within me, I'm driving what I want to drive. In me, I'm living where I want to live. Within me. And now, since I'm changing my confession is changing what I manifest because I looked within me. And the only way I got that in me is I had to get the other stuff out of me, and I got the other stuff out of me when I got to the him, and he turned to me and he said, go your way. Not her way, not his way, not their way. Go your way. I release you and give you permission, honey, to thrive in the things that you inspire to become and do. Go your way. I know mom and them want you to go their way, but honey, go your way. When you really go in church, you stop trying to please people and you find out where you're supposed to go. And once you find out where you're supposed to go, go your way. And have the guts, the tenaciousness, the courage to go your way. How did you get the courage? Because I heard the Lord say that my faith has made me well. And I'm well enough to go in the way that he has shown me. To the point I have the security, I have the esteem, I have everything I need to go the way that I'm supposed to go. I'm not supposed to be in this situation before I got here. I wanted to be this. I wanted to go to school. Some of you wanted to be dancers. Some of you wanted to be actors. Some of you wanted to do great things. But you went away. It wasn't your way. And because of things that got on you, and it's been 20, 30 years, you don't even have the body you used to have. You have the mindset you used to have. You don't even have the tightness of skin you used to have. And so now you have all these excuses for why you can't do it now. Honey, drop your blood outside the camp. You better hear me right now. Drop your blood outside the camp. If you got to plug it up, press through. Opinions, press through negativity, press through, and touch. It's worth the fight. It's worth fighting for. I want to see you healed. I want to see you strong. I want to see you wise. I don't want to see you silly. I want to see you wise. I want to see you being taken advantage of. I don't want to see you ignorant. I don't want to see you keep falling to the same game. Why can't you hear that? Why don't you know any better than that? And I'll say it like this, just because he's nice doesn't mean that he's yours. I've said it again, just because he's nice doesn't mean that he's yours. So desperate for somebody. But you haven't even stopped and paid attention that to somebody of all bodies that said, this is my child, this is my daughter, I'm your God, I'm the rock of your salvation. But yet you still look for flesh to complete you. When they can't do it, they don't know what to do with you. Why you say that? Because they don't know your way. And if you're not in touch with God like that, you definitely can't show me the way. You can't encourage the way. I told you before, when you're about to enter in your dream, God will give you dream companions. Dream companions are people that God talked to about your dream, who don't try to take your dream, who don't try to make your dream their dream, but they're your dream companions. They're Joseph and Mary. God can give Mary a dream, which was her son Jesus, but the Holy Spirit talked to Joseph and said, Joseph, Mary's going to have a child. And I know it's a strange situation. It's a strange situation because I know you ain't even had sex with her yet. but she's pregnant. I know she's claiming to be a virgin, and she is. So what she's dealing with, her dream, her vision, is unique and different. And I'm going to need you to man up and be a different kind of man, because I know the boys down at the sports bar are going to try to talk about you if they find out that your woman is pregnant and you sitting around talking about you ain't touched her. Man, you talking about a lashing. You talking about being talked about. You talking about getting your player's card revoked. Your woman come home talking about she's pregnant and she ain't never had sex. And she needs you to raise another man's baby? Oh, he better have the grace. He better have some grace. Let me tell you tonight that there's grace out you for your strange situation. That there's somebody out there that can actually meet you where you at. God is so sovereign and so cold. He's bad just like that. That he can make somebody ready for you. Make him ready for you. That's a big statement because you know you. You know you. You know that appetite. You know that imbalance. You know that back and forth thing you got. You know you. And because you are familiar with you, you have already disqualified anything and everything, and you've started to settle in your mind that I'll just take what comes and I can never get what I need because I've been through too much. It's been too long. For 12 years, I've been through stuff, man. In order for God to do something like that, he'd have to dig deep in his bag of tricks. I can't tell you, he ain't got to dig deep. He's already fashioned something for me. And they're going to teach you how to win. I'm depending on y'all. It's time for you to reign. It's time for you to rule. It's time for you to get up and do what God calls you to do. Let me disciple you. Let me coach you in. Let me push you over. So you can throw your hands up. Throw your hands up in victory. And tell the world that God's been just that good, that he makes me want to holler and throw up both of my hands. Ladies, he's coming. He's waiting for you to press through the crowd. But tonight he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's on his way to your house. Some of you have already arrived. Let's stop the bleeding by saying within yourself and therefore reaching and pressing, going through what you need to. Some of us are so productive in the wrong thing. And we disqualified ourselves. Do you know how much effort and energy you gave to do the wrong thing? The underappreciated thing? For 12 years? And now you don't have nothing left? Because you gave it all. You got to leave some for yourself, baby. You got to keep some for you. It's time to vote for you. And we only vote for people we believe in. Believe for you, man. Believe for you. Raise your stock and value. I understand your appetites have increased. As long as I got some biceps and triceps, that's good. Everybody's supposed to have somebody. God will give you what you need. If you need it, when you need it, he'll give it to you. But more importantly, you got to go get on your way. It's time to find your way. And if you never find your way, you can't go your way. And so tonight I challenge you to find your way so you can go your way and trust that the power that's in that garment is enough to release your thinking, unlock your treasures, and rebuke that devil that's been trying to hold you back. And when you feel that moment, you got to lock in like a pet bull, dig your feet in the ground, and go after it. I know it don't sound ladylike, but honey, right now, for what the devil trying to do to you, you don't have time to be a lady. I got to be victorious and victorious. Victorious. It's co-ed, baby. Victory is co-ed. It's for everybody that can believe. Everybody who can say within themselves that I got this water that I've drunk and it has become a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. It's coming out of me now. I'm speaking life now. Her sister met tonight. Her life coming out of you. That's because life is getting in you. So it's coming out of you. And it's flowing like a river. To the point it's hitting everybody. Well, if that life has hit you, that if somebody else is pouring to you, and then somebody else is pouring to them, it's a stream, it's a flow, it's flowing. And the enemy has come to clog your drain, to disconnect your sources and your pipe. The devil, the liar. Get back. Time for you to win, lady. Time for us to heal. It's time for us to help. It's time for us to stop being so silly. It's time for us to stop being so playful. It's time for y'all to stop being so childish. And it's time to be women. Women of honor. Where's your honor? Square your shoulders. Hold your head up. Don't buy no wood nickel. You're a woman. And not just any woman. You're a woman of God. You're a woman who reigns. You're a woman who reigns. You're a woman who reigns. Who reigns. The difference means being in charge and reigning. Being in charge means you might have been delegated to be there. But when you reign, you are the ruler. That means you determine when the show starts and stops. So therefore, one monkey can never ever stop your show. Because you're the ruling and the reigning woman who definitely don't win. And tonight, you make up in your mind that you're going to win, and you're going to win with your hands up, and your hands going to stay up because you're going to stay in victory. You're going to walk in victory. You're going to be the victory. So the other women that are following your steps will be able to say, I found a reigning woman who made it to the fire and the flood. You looking for mentors, and God is trying to make you a mentor. You looking for somebody to lead you, and God is trying to make you a leader. Time. It's time, ladies. It's time, ladies. It's your time now. I pray the conviction of the Holy Ghost that every morning you wake up, that you're no longer satisfied with status quo. No longer satisfied with being on the outside. No longer satisfied that you challenge and charge everybody to come up. There comes a point in life that you got to stop so busy looking to sow into somebody else, that you got to start looking at somebody sows into you. You're trying to still push people into something. No, it's time for you to get into something. Somebody needs to push you now. It's okay when you're in your early 20s. When you get in them 30s, you should dip in your ball game. And it's definitely a different game at 40. And you're in your 50s, come on now. There is a God out there that we serve. That I only have so much time. the Bible says that you have to work while it is day. I know you think you got forever, and I know you're in good health, and I know that you're strong, and I know you did. But, baby, your clock can't tick forever, and he says you got to work while it is day, and there's only so much you can do in a certain time span. I don't care how healthy you are. There's some things you cannot do at 50 that you can do in your 20s, and there's some things you can't do in your 60s that you can do in your 40s. And the older women need to look back and talk to the younger women and say, hey, we got to come on up now. We got to do better. And I'm going to hold you accountable. Hold you accountable. I told one of our ladies that I said, I wish he would come over here trying to play games. I wish he would. I promise you, any dude try to come around us trying to play some game, this pastor that you have will identify before it even hit the block. I went through it for you already. I can see it before it show up. And I'm not impressed. So if you want to be easy in it, don't bring the mess around me. Because I'm going to address it. And I'm going to tell the devil to his face, get thee behind me. Because these are women that are pressing through the crowd. And if I don't get to mistreat them, violate them, rape them, molest them, chastise them, screw them, you don't get to. Leave them alone. Yes, but I just said to you, it's a new ministry coming up. Because that game plan, we playing patty cake and we playing, these people are still bound, these people are still broken, and then they wake up and they're years later on in their life and they have all this regret and nobody is even addressing the regret. Nobody's addressing the shame. Nobody's addressing the pain. And so they can't endure their crosses and become what it is that God wants them to become. Because they fold and they break. They break. They give in too easy and too soon. But it's time for you to win, lady. And I hope you hear the urgency in my voice. I want you to win. And if I can do anything to help you win, trust me, I'm willing to do it. Anything to help you to become that which God has purposed you to be. Here I am. I give myself away so God can use me. I want to see you women. I want people, when they hear the women of the Latter House, they say, man, them some powerful women. Oh, them some smart women over there. Oh, you better be careful walking up on one of them girls. Whew. They know the truth, and the truth has made them free. Are you understanding the word coming out of my mouth tonight? No Bible, no tote, no song, or no tribute. I come to talk to you straight from my heart tonight and to tell you, maybe this time to win. I know it's been 12 years, but to him, if you stop tonight, stop it. So you can go, so you can have the guts to be on your way, not mama's way. Not Agnes' way, not your friend's way, but go your way. Have the guts to do it the way God gave it to you. Time to live again. Awake those dreams back up in you, the passion back in you. Awake it up now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I'm going to leave you with that. I'm going to leave you right there. I'm out of time. I'm going to leave you right there. And I pray the Holy Spirit continue to move you. So talk to the Father and be blessed. Father, in Jesus' name, I release the power of God through thy word, the word that I know shall not come back void. And I declare conquering spirit, ruling spirit, overcoming spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus. Ministering angels, minister to us. Healing angels, heal us. Spirit of the living God, rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. And cast him out and off of everything that concerns us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If there's anybody that want to comment or speak into what has been spoken tonight, I give you a moment to do so.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the confirmation. I've been thinking like that all day long. It was just in my spirit. I got to do better. I got to be a woman in rain. I've got to just go ahead and be who God has made me to be. You know, and it's just been, I've just been thinking like that. So thank you so much. You bless my soul.
Amen. Go get the blessing. Go get the blessing. Don't you die here. Don't you die and leave here without emptying yourself of everything that God put in you. I challenge you not to die with all those gifts in you, with all those treasures in you, with all that wisdom in you, with all that courage in you. I challenge you. I challenge you to rise to another level of excellence. I challenge you.
Challenges.
God bless you. God bless you. For the rest of you, if there's anybody else before we go, one more. God bless you all.
Hold on, Pastor. Wait a minute, Pastor. I had some muted, so it might be somebody trying to say something. Hold on. Those. Is anybody trying to say something? Okay. Okay, Bim.
Hey, I was saying, yeah. I was saying yes. At first, I was just crying and praising the Lord as you were speaking. And I said, God, I know you're talking to me because there is something great that he wants me to do. And, you know, I was all tied up in the what the children and this and that and all that, you know, but today the man finally won custody of my grandson, and I thought I was okay. I went to counseling, to the Greek counseling, and then the people were talking, and, you know, and they kind of brought it back. I said, devil, you're a lie, and I already gave that to God. So, yeah, thank you. The confirmation, like Lewis just said, it's greater. It's something I'm supposed to be doing, man. I just feel it in my gut besides this, existing.
I say this. God gave me a challenge for you all, and he's challenging me. And he tried to make me angry with him, mad at him, and not trust him and not respect him. But the more he tried to do that, the more I found myself wanting to. I did to this. Last year this time, God was talking to me about this, Sister Bama, and I spoke on the line concerning it. And God told me that as you was making room in your house for your kids, that God was trying to make room in your house for somebody else. God was trying to make room in your house for something else. And it might not end up in the courts like you thought. And one reason being is because those are your grandbabies. But it is not your personal responsibility. You have a purpose. You have a purpose that you now must fulfill because you're too mature in the Lord. You got too much power in your prayer that you're not somebody's helping them get to fulfill their destiny.
God has a blessing for you.
It has a blessing for you. And they can't be selfish with you no more. They can't be stingy with you no more.
You gotta go, and you gotta minister,
and you gotta help somebody else get through this. And you can't do this if you isolate yourself to just your small group. It's time for God to expand your group now. It's time to expand your group now.
Yes, it is.
Time to expand your group now.
Yes, God.
Time to expand yourself.
You.
It's time for you to go your way.
Yeah.
Not theirs, not your kids, not your neighbors, not your rent. It's your time now. And you got to have the courage to not feel like you're being selfish or self-centered. I haven't got to stand on his own 2 feet now.
That's why I said confirmation, because I've already said this and I know it. And I just thank you. Thank you for the word I received in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now just give me the courage Oh, glory to God. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Carter.
Through me, there's a song God wrote for Through Me. And in that song it says, through many pains and fears, situation and sorrows, through our hurts, he said, we yet live.
Yeah. That's good.
Through our fears, our tears, our pain, and our sorrows, we yet live. So if we're still alive, then we still got another moment to give that. Man, I almost called him a Negro, but get that Negro back everything he gave us.
Yeah.
We're going to get that devil back hell. And you give him hell by going and walking in victory. Time to be courageous now. Courageous.
That's right.
Amen. This is to mean courage. I speak courage over you. Time for you to be courageous now. Everybody courageous. Go get your blessing. God bless your heart. And all your parts. This is Bama. I love you, beloved of the Lord. And I'll talk to you all tomorrow morning. God bless.
God bless you, sir. I love you.
Good night,
family.
Love
Good
you.
Night.
Talk to you in the morning.
Ooh, thank you, Lord. Oh, God.